Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 20th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Michael Bloomberg faces heavy fire in his first debate.
We are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg.
Just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
I don't think you look at Donald Trump and say, we need someone richer in the White House.
Details and analysis coming up, plus the latest on the coronavirus outbreak.
Democratic presidential candidates also tackle climate change, health care, and Dreamers in last night's debate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, the Rangers win on the road, the Islanders came up short, and the NFL playoffs may get that much better.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower as the coronavirus weighs on sentiment. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures down 8. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 is up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year 1.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 26 cents at $53.55 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $16.12.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0801 against the dollar. The yen 111.97. Nathan.
Karen, we start with politics in last night's Democratic presidential debate where the newest candidate, Michael Bloomberg, came under heavy fire.
We are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg seeing huge expansions of their wealth.
He has stop and frisk, throwing close to 5 million young black men up against a wall.
Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Let's put forward somebody who actually lives and works in a middle-class neighborhood.
I don't think you look at Donald Trump and say, we need someone richer in the White House.
Attacks on Michael Bloomberg were the pervading theme at the NBC debate, with the sharpest criticism coming from Elizabeth Warren.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
Bloomberg faced questions about off-color jokes made 3 decades ago, comments his campaign says he now sees as disrespectful and wrong. In turn, the former New York City mayor highlighted his support for the Me Too movement.
I have no tolerance for the kind of behavior that the Me Too movement has exposed. And anybody that does anything wrong in our company, we investigate it, and if it's appropriate, they're gone that day.
The former mayor and Senator Warren also sparred over non-disclosure agreements signed by women who used to work for Bloomberg.
When you say they signed them and they wanted them, if they wish now to speak out and tell their side of the story about what it is they allege, that's now okay with you? You're releasing them on television tonight?
Senator? No.
Is that right?
Senator, the company and somebody else, in this case, a man or a woman, or could be more than that, they decided when they made an agreement that they wanted to keep it quiet for everybody's interest. They signed the agreements, and that's what we're going to live with.
More on the debate plus analysis coming up throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Radio. And we should note, Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio.
Now we turn to the latest developments on the coronavirus outbreak. The death toll has risen past 2,100 in China, while confirmed infections slow down to less than 75,000. That's after Hubei province once again changed the way it diagnoses the illness. We get more from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The broad picture seems to be that the rate of infections is slowing. But of course, many experts outside of China saying, look, we still don't have good enough quality data. There isn't enough transparency. But it does seem that maybe you're getting this slowdown in terms of additional rates. And we know that the control measures continue to be put in place in Hubei as officials there try to ensure that they are making note of everyone who is infected. How successful that is, of course, we're going to have to continue to monitor.
And Hubei discharged 1,200 patients yesterday while confirming just 350 new cases. That's the first time discharged patients topped new cases in the province.
But outside of China, the outbreak continues to spread. And here at the very latest on that is Bloomberg's John Tucker joining us live. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. South Korea reporting its first death from the virus. Infections there more than doubled to 82. The Centers for Disease Control is warning of travel to Hong Kong after a second fatality there from the illness. And Japan confirms two people on the cruise ship off its coast died from the virus. That ship has the most infections outside of China, with more than 600 confirmed cases. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Markets in Asia remain jittery over the outbreak, and Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore now with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed higher in Tokyo by a third of 1%. That was a gain of just 78 points after earlier being up more than 400 points before news of those cruise ship deaths broke. South Korea announced its number of coronavirus cases has basically doubled. That saw the KOSPI close lower by 0.7%, and the won continued to be sold off. The coronavirus fears saw the dollar hit a four-month high, ensuring weakness across most Asian currencies. The offshore yuan trading at its lowest level since December. The Singapore dollar at a three-year low, and the Aussie dollar falling to levels not seen since the global financial crisis. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, we have a big announcement from UBS. The Swiss bank is naming Ralph Hamers from ING as its next CEO. Hamers will replace Sergio Ermotti at UBS on November 1st. We get more from Bloomberg's Marion Halftermeyer in Zurich.
This is definitely an odd pick, and I think it surprised many in Zurich. He's definitely not a natural pick, but he has a few key talents that would be of interest to UBS. His knack for cost-cutting, as well as being this digital fintech type of banker.
Hamers is a relative outsider in the world of Swiss wealth management, but UBS investors are greeting the news with open arms. Shares are up more than 2% in Zurich.
S&P futures down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 30. NASDAQ futures down 8. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.55%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Only six 2020 hopefuls made the cut for the Democratic presidential debate last night in Las Vegas. Candidates used their time to call out their opponents on their experience, policies, and prior records. But there were other topics discussed as well during the NBC debate. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg says the time is now to act on climate change.
It's not 2050, it's not 2040, it's not 2030, it's 2020. Because if we don't elect a president who actually believes in climate science now, we will never meet any of the other scientific or policy deadlines that we need to.
Meanwhile, Mike Bloomberg says he is the best option for the Democratic Party this November.
I'm a New Yorker. I know how to take on an arrogant con man like Donald Trump that comes from New York.
Minnesota Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar says there is a simple way to protect the dreamers.
To win, to beat Donald Trump, the best way to protect the dreamers is to have a new president. There are the votes there to protect the dreamers. And I have been working on this since I got to the United States Senate. In my first campaign, I actually had a bunch ads run against me because I was standing up for immigrants.
Senator Sanders also says he will not take away health care from union members and others. And we should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, President Trump held a campaign event of his own in Arizona. He reminded the crowd in Phoenix of his success in 2016 and took shots at Senator Elizabeth Warren's Native American heritage claim.
You know, I came up with the name Pocahontas too early. But fortunately, she's self-destructed anyway. Did you ever see a phony like that? She's a phony.
Today is sentencing day for Roger Stone. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports the judge in the case has come under pressure from President Trump about his former confidant.
Stone failed to persuade the judge to delay the sentencing while he seeks a new trial, but she did say he wouldn't have to start serving his sentence until she rules on his new trial request. When President Trump was asked this week if he thought his longtime confidant would go to jail today, he sidestepped the idea of a pardon, but teased about his thinking.
I think Roger Stone's been treated unfairly.
Then again, Trump reminded reporters that's nothing new.
I think a lot of people have been treated very unfairly.
And while Attorney General William Barr asked Trump to stay out of what should be Justice Department business, White House spokesman Hogan Gidley has kept on pushing back.
back.
The president can make his opinion known. He has a right to do that and does so on a routine basis.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Now time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers got a wake-up call in Chicago that came just in time.
Here's Panarin with one over while Fox got tripped up and let a shot go that didn't have much on it. And then Panarin scores! What a shot!
NBCSN on the call. Panarin's goal, part of a five-goal period as the Rangers rallied to bury the Blackhawks 6-3. It's the 30th for Panarin. Chris Kreider added his 24th. Rangers have won 7 of 10, yet still 6 points out of the final playoff spot. Islanders not as fortunate in Denver, falling 3-1 to the Avalanche, who led throughout. In fact, Brock Nelson kept the Isles from getting shut out with just over 2 minutes to play. The Islanders are in a three-way tie for the final playoff spot with the Hurricanes and Blue Jackets. Are you ready for more football? The NFL has a proposal on the table that'll include one extra team per conference for a total of 7. Only the top seed would get an opening round bye. The league has had a 12-team playoff format since 1990. The league cites it's a win-win as it'll lead to more fan interest later in the year and more playoff bonuses for 2 other teams. It could start as early as this season. It's back to work in the NBA. Second half picks up tonight. A tall order for the Nets. They visit the Sixers, a 9-point favorite. They own the best home record in the league, 25-2. Tip-off is at 8. In Big East basketball, Seton Hall edge Butler. Villanova crushed DePaul. And number 6, Duke, upset by 22 at NC State. Baseball. First it was Aaron Judge. Now Giancarlo Stanton sounded off about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Said he'd hit 80 home runs if he knew what pitches were coming. Spring training game starts Saturday. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. S&P futures lower by 2 points. Dow futures down 36. NASDAQ futures down almost 10 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are lower. U.S. stock index futures are edging downward as well as investors pore over the latest reports about the spread of the coronavirus beyond China and a batch of lackluster corporate earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 36. NASDAQ futures down about 9. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year 1.41%. 1%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 19 cents at $53.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 90 cents. That's up less than 0.1% at $16.12.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.0793 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2891. And the yen is at 112. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45, leading indicators at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. 11 people are dead, including the suspected gunman in Hanau, Germany, after a mass shooting. Reports indicate he may have had a far-right motive. The coronavirus death toll continues to climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And the global death toll, Michael, has climbed to over 2,100. But in Hubei province, the center of the outbreak, the number of confirmed cases dropped for the first time. That's after the province once again changed the way it diagnoses the illness. In the meantime, South Korea reported its first fatality from the outbreak after a case there doubled overnight, and Japan confirmed 2 deaths from a quarantine cruise ship. Iran reported 3 more cases a day after confirming 2 people had died from the outbreak. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
John, thank you very much, sir. In the NHL, the Rangers won, the Islanders lost, the Bruins won in overtime. In the NBA, they resumed tonight after the All-Star break, including the Nets against the 76ers and the Warriors against the Rockets. There's a new proposal from the NFL to add 2 more teams to the playoff format. The plan calls for 7 teams from each conference to make the postseason, and only the top seeds would receive byes. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on last night's debate, which saw the Democrats running for president turn their attention from the incumbent to the newest entrant to the race.
Mike Bloomberg owns more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans.
A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
He has not managed his city very, very well when he was there.
One candidate who wants to burn this party down, and another candidate who wants to buy this party out.
The campaign memo from Mayor Bloomberg said this morning that the only way that we get a nominee is if we step aside for him.
I'm a New Yorker. I know how to take on an arrogant con man like Donald Trump that comes from New York.
Terry Haynes joins us now, founder of Pangea Policy, for reaction to last night's debate. What are some of your key takeaways, sir?
Good morning, Nathan. A few. Let me provide a little bit of context. The first is that a convention food fight, I think, where you have no designated nominee before you get there, I think is likelier today than it was yesterday, and it was, by some estimates, the most likely scenario yesterday, and probably not one that that benefits a moderate particularly, because most Democratic primary voters, I think, are progressives, the most motivated ones to get out there. I think the winners and losers are obvious, and I won't belabor them. I think Sanders won, and Bloomberg did not do so well. Sanders won largely because the other candidates, Warren being the best example, are all trying to scramble up the ladder and remain viable, so they're elbowing each other on the way up. I think Bloomberg's debate performance did not help him last night. To some extent, Trump wins also. Then finally, I think, what effect all this has. Look past Nevada, where just parenthetically, there may be a potential for more vote counting turmoil. Look past South Carolina, where I think Biden probably does better and remains viable. The effect of this debate will end up being on Super Tuesday, and the effect, I think, is to muddle the race further, because by Mayor Bloomberg's own theory of the case in a leaked memo, unless a lot of the other so-called moderates like Biden, Klobuchar, and Buttigieg get out of the race won't clarify in the way that he wants, and Sanders will end up being the nominee. So I think what you had here is is something that muddled the race further, did not provide clarity, and so that's going to be, for markets, that's going to be a continual uncertainty for, I think, months to come.
Do you expect that we could see more of that clarity on Super Tuesday, and what do any of the candidates need to do ahead of that to try to provide that clarity?
I think that's possible, Nathan, but I think it's not likely, mostly because the Democrats have pushed a proportional delegate selection. So what you're going to end up getting is not a kind of seismic swing where a new candidate all of a sudden gets huge new momentum. What you're likelier to see is a slight clarification of where we are now. And again, that's why one of the reasons I raised Mayor Bloomberg's advisors' memos, because that's what they're pushing. What I end up seeing is, frankly, that, I think Biden is, as the Princess Bride would say, only mostly dead. I think he starts looking more viable, not particularly viable, but more viable after South Carolina. He won't do terribly in Nevada. And Super Tuesday is tailor-made for a so-called moderate candidate. What you've got there is an awful lot. For every state where you have a very liberal electorate like California, you're going to have another one like Texas and other southern states. Somebody like Biden's going to look a little bit better after that. I still give Biden no chance. I never really have, but that's my view.
More analysis to come throughout the morning. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, thanks for joining us this morning. And we should mention that Michael Bloomberg, candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures are lower by 4 points right now. Dow futures down 47. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 15 points. 10-year up 5/32nds, yield 1.54%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We saw a fiery debate from Democratic presidential contenders last night in Las Vegas. Highlights and details coming up shortly in world and national news. But first, global stocks are lower as concerns over the coronavirus continue to weigh on markets. S&P futures are lower, down 4.5 points, while the Europe Stoxx 600 is down about 0.3%. Treasury yields are falling with the yield on the 10-year at 1.54%.
Two people from a quarantine cruise ship in Japan have died from the virus. Total cases aboard that vessel now top 600. That's the most infections outside of China. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The fatalities, both Japanese nationals in their 80s with pre-existing conditions, according to NHK. In the meantime, China again changed its method for counting infections, now classifying confirmed or suspected cases. In the latest, Hubei reports 349 new cases only, but 880 suspected. Some 1,209 people were discharged from hospital, the second day in which the number of sick people declined. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Meantime, outside of China, the outbreak continues to spread. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Karen, South Korea is reporting its first death from the virus. Infections there more than doubled overnight to 82. The Centers for Disease Control is warning of travel to Hong Kong after a second person there died from the illness. Still, the total fatalities outside of China remains relatively modest, with 10 deaths outside of the mainland. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, a big announcement from UBS. The Swiss bank is naming Ralph Hamers from ING its next CEO. We get more from Bloomberg's Marion Halftermeyer in Zurich.
He's definitely not a natural pick, but he has a few key talents, his knack for cost cutting, as well as being this digital fintech type of banker, which is one of the challenges facing banks these days. So UBS could definitely benefit from his expertise in sort of launching new digital front strategy.
Hamers will replace Sergio Armati starting November 1st, and shares of UBS are up more than 2% right now in Zurich.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures again down 4 points. Dow futures down 45. NASDAQ futures down 13. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds. Yield 1.54%. And the yield on the 2-year 1.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 26 cents at $53.55 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Better late than never applied to the Rangers Wednesday in Chicago, scoring 5 times in the third to rally for a 6-3 win. Center Ryan Strome.
We didn't have a great first 40, but we rallied and we found a way to get a few goals and we found a way to win. And I think our team's come a long way in the last 3-4 weeks and in a game we might not have won a month or two ago.
Rangers have won 7 of 10. They need some help, though. They're 6 out of the final playoff spot. Islanders were buried early in Colorado, losing 3-1 to the Avalanche. Brock Nelson scored with just over 2 minutes to play to avoid the shutout. New New York's in a three-way tie for the final playoff spot with Columbus and Carolina. NFL fans have another reason to be optimistic in Week 17. The league is mulling a proposal that would add two additional playoff teams, one per conference. Only the number one seed would have an opening round bye. The league states two extra teams would earn playoff bonuses. Networks would get two extra games for the revenue and fan interest would increase, with their team still having a shot at the postseason. The union's 11 executive committee members, many of whom were opposed to a 17-game season just a couple of weeks ago, they would have to vote to recommend this deal to the 32-team reps for it to move forward. It could be in effect as early as this season. NBA second half starts tonight. Brooklyn's in Philly, and despite the league's best record at home, 25-2, Sixers coach Brett Brown isn't taking the Nets lightly.
They always give us trouble. You know, like, they got a bunch of live ball players that can just get their shots all by themselves. You know, they play at a pace that, if you're not careful, can be punishing.
Philadelphia is a 9-point favorite. Tip-off is at 8. College hoops, Big East wins for Seton Hall and Villanova, and 6th-ranked Duke lost by 22 at NC State. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks for coming up to 535 on Wall Street. Now let's get a check of the latest world and national news headlines. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Michael Bloomberg came under fire in a spirited Democratic debate last night. On the stage, his Democratic rivals tore into his record to make the case that he isn't fit for the task. During the event on NBC, Elizabeth Warren compared him to President Donald Trump in his treatment of women and added this.
I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but understand this. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Others attacked Bloomberg as well, including the stop and frisk policies from Bernie Sanders and others. We should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, former Vice President Joe Biden had a message for Bloomberg about former employees and their non-disclosure agreements.
It's easy. All the mayor has to do is say, you are released from the non-disclosure agreement, period. We talk about transparency here.
Bernie Sanders says he's the only Democratic candidate on the stage who thinks that with the most delegates, they should win the party's presidential nomination if he or she does not win the majority. His rivals say the party should let the convention play out according to rules set by the party. It sets up a clash should the primary season end without a clear winner, giving way to a brokered convention. Meanwhile, President Trump spoke to a crowd in Arizona last night. The president in Phoenix took a swipe at the Democratic presidential candidates, including Mike Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders.
They just came out with a poll a little while ago. Mini Mike was at 15 and Crazy Bernie was at 31. That's a lot. And Mini Mike just spent $500 million. But the DNC is going to take it away from Bernie again. And that's okay, because we don't care who the hell it is. We're going to win. We have to.
President Trump says he'll appoint Rick Grenell, the current U.S. ambassador to Germany, to be the next acting director of national intelligence. Grenell is a Trump loyalist who was nominated to be ambassador to Germany in 2017 after having served as a spokesman for the U.S. mission to the United Nations in the early 2000s. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the coronavirus stressing China's fragile financial system. Also in this week's issue, why the biggest fan of White House tariffs on steel is suing the Trump administration. Joe Doe wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
He's a supporter of these tariffs. He's a supporter of the president. He's been in photo ops with the president many times before. Fast forward to August, we get a thing on the wire that says that they're suing the Trump administration.
Read more about that thing and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now, online at businessweek.com, and terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, and watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Go to YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. Employees at the Brooklyn-based crowdfunding platform Kickstarter voted to unionize this week, making them the first direct employees of a big tech company to do so. The vote, with 46 in favor and 37 against, came about a year after the company's employees announced plans to unionize. New Jersey municipalities have borrowed millions of dollars to cover retirement bonuses promised to public employees. The loans come years after a push by former Governor Chris Christie to curb the practice, according to a State Commission of Investigation report. Patterson alone borrowed $24 million. Bloomberg's Richest Places annual index is out, and the tri-state area has a number of towns on the list in second place for the second year. Scarsdale, with an average $452,000 in annual household income. Short Hills, New Jersey is sixth. Darien, Connecticut placed 10th, and Rumson, New Jersey was 12th. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WTVN in Columbus. The largest Pizza Hut franchisee in the U.S. is exploring restructuring options.
I'm Steve Podesgan on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about Victoria's Secret being bought out by New York's Sycamore Partners.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on the disarray in the EU's position on Brexit talks.
I'm Tom Busby, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'll be reporting on Pennsylvania's biggest bank closing a number of branches.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following out of the UK this morning. Lloyds Banking Group is out with a bullish forecast. Britain's largest mortgage lender says it'll target returns of 12 to 13% this year. That is well above last year's performance, when Lloyds had to take a charge for compensating customers who were wrongly sold payment protection insurance. S&P futures lower by 5 points at the moment. Dow futures down 46. NASDAQ futures down 15 points. FTSE in London, little change to lower. 10-year yield, 1.54%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling, and U.S. stock index futures are also lower as investors pore over the latest reports about the spread of the coronavirus beyond China and a batch of lackluster corporate earnings. The dollar is jumping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5.5 points. Dow futures down 50. NASDAQ futures down 16. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year 1.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33%, or 18 cents, at $53.47 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.50 at $16.13.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.0797 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2878. And the yen is at 112.07. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, police in New Orleans say a woman was struck and killed by a parade float as the city celebrated Mardi Gras. News outlets report witnesses say the woman tried to cross between a tandem float, which has two sections that are connected in the middle. She reportedly tripped over the hitch connecting the two sections and was run over by the back half of the float. Mardi Gras is February 25th. The coronavirus death toll continues to climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
Michael, the global death toll has climbed to over 2,100. But in Hubei province, the center of the outbreak, the number of confirmed cases actually dropped for the first time. That's after the province, once again, changed the way it diagnoses the illness. Meantime, South Korea reported its first fatality from the outbreak after cases there doubled overnight. And Japan confirmed two deaths from a quarantine cruise ship. Iran reported three more cases a day after confirming two people had died from the outbreak. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
John, thank you very much, sir. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders lost. The Bruins won in overtime. The NBA resumes tonight after the All-Star break, including the Nets against the 76ers and the Warriors against the Rockets. There's a new proposal from the NFL to add two more teams to the playoff format. The plan calls for seven teams from each conference. to make the postseason, and only the top seeds would receive byes. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street, the morning after maybe the fiercest debate yet for the Democrats running for president in 2020. The candidate on the receiving end of most of the attacks was Michael Bloomberg.
Mr. Bloomberg had policies in New York City of stop and frisk.
The policy was abhorrent, and it was, in fact, a violation of every right people have.
He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg, the two most polarizing figures on this stage.
I think it's great you got a lot of money, but I think you've got to come forward with your tax returns.
The number of pages will probably be in the thousands of pages. I can't go to TurboTax.
And Michael Bloomberg says he does plan to release those tax returns in a few weeks, as he says they're currently being prepared as fast as he can do it. Let's get more now from Wendy Schiller, chair of the political science department at Brown University. Good to have you back with us this morning, Wendy. And when we spoke yesterday, you said that Michael Bloomberg just didn't have to lose the debate last night. Did he meet that bar?
Yeah, I don't think so. Although, you know, I keep thinking of other performances by people who hadn't been challenged by anybody else in a while, like George W. Bush, the first debate he had in 2004. Obama's first debate in 2012 was terrible. So it just struck me that, A, he didn't prep for it. I mean, that he didn't have anybody really going after him in that prep, so he understood how to respond. And two, when you sort of haven't been challenged by this in your inner circle, per se, you're not used to defending yourself on a public stage. I was a bit surprised, for all the money he's spending on ads, that he didn't prep better, and he didn't see it coming, and he didn't have better answers for it. It was just surprising to me. I was also surprised Liz Warren went after Bloomberg so much. She had to do something last night to pop out, and I think she did. I think she had a very strong performance in the debate, but her main target should have been Bernie Sanders.
Interesting. Is that a performance from Warren last night enough to bounce her back into the top tier of this race?
The only way we're going to know that is to see how she does in Nevada. You know, to see how she does on Saturday, and then going to South Carolina to see if she can pull some votes away from Bernie. Bernie did really well. He had good energy. He defended himself. He has the same script. I think America's heard that script 2016 and is hearing the same script in 2020. He didn't do as well on the attacks on sort of socialism, communism, because these are sort of real, you know, he defended himself, but these are real criticisms. Is America ready for what you want to give America? And I don't think he's quite at the top of his game on that. So that was surprising, and he seemed a little bit annoyed that on attacks. So we'll see how he does in Nevada. He didn't do as well on the union attack on health care. Amy Klobuchar lobbed that at him. So we're just going to see whether the unions in Nevada like him or don't like him, and we're going to have a pretty good idea after Saturday.
Yeah, it has been interesting that Bernie Sanders has largely avoided much of the attack over the socialism label as this campaign has gone on. Have the candidates who are looking to appeal to that more centrist lane of the Democratic Party and perhaps the broader electorate heading into the general election, have they missed that opportunity at this point, or is there still time to chip away at this frontrunner status that he now has?
Or, you know, we're going into sort of much bigger territory once you get to March 3rd, and then subsequently after that all throughout March, and you're getting Midwestern states, you're getting Western states. So I think there's a lot of different audiences in the Democratic Party that will be receptive to that message, just as there'll be some people who are obviously still receptive to Bernie's message. So I think there's a lot of time to still do that. Pete Buttigieg did a good job last night of staying calm. I mean, that's what his criticism is, that he's too calm and he's too scripted. But he was very good the whole night, very steady, didn't make any mistakes, and tried to both attack Bloomberg but also attack Bernie. He was much better at it than Amy Klobuchar, and she had a bad night. So that was really also surprising. She really let Buttigieg get under her skin, and he really was jockeying to be the alternative to Bloomberg. And he was basically telling moderates in the party, you know, I'm better than Klobuchar, you know, for all sorts of reasons. And, you know, you can look over on the corner and see Bloomberg is going to be subject to some serious attacks. And they're basically on the same level as the Trump attacks. So the Democrats want to attack Trump for his behavior and he being a billionaire. Then you've got Bloomberg running and he's subject to the same attacks. You know, that could be a significant problem for Bloomberg trying to topple Trump if he's a nominee.
Yeah, you said that you were surprised that it seemed as though Mayor Bloomberg wasn't prepared for last night's debate. Does this debate serve as preparation for him? And what does he need to do or does he need to bounce back?
Well, you know, it definitely serves as preparation. He's got some time to bounce back. He's just got to come up with much better answers, and he's really got to turn the page. You know, they really made it about him, his money, his prior situations at work, non-disclosure agreements, stop and frisk. You know, none of the positives. You know, what did he do for New York? How did he help New York? What, you know, he's running some really slick ads that are pretty persuasive, and one including President Obama. So turn the page. Figure out how in the debate to sort of stop getting stuck on the stuff that's going to hurt you and move towards the stuff that's going to benefit you. He didn't get a really chance to do that. He was better in the second hour than the first. But he's got to practice that. I don't think he can just do that when you wake up in the morning. And they're going to come after him just as hard in the next debate.
Even aside from the debates, it's not as though Mayor Bloomberg is going anywhere because he still does have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on national advertising. What does that mean for the other candidates like Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar who don't have those kind of resources and want to try to stay in this race?
Yeah, I think it's a significant problem for Klobuchar based on her performance last night. I think, you know, you really can't. You have to show you can go toe-to-toe and it has to be consistent, whereas Buttigieg has been consistent, if maybe not quite as energetic as Klobuchar. Buttigieg's just got to say, he's flawed, I'm not. We're going to deliver the same message. We're not Bernie Sanders. We're not Elizabeth Warren. But he's got a lot of money, but he's flawed. So, you know, you've got to think about me because I emerge, you know, without those same kinds of flaws. You know, I don't know if he succeeds in terms of money, but, you need the votes. You need the people in the Democratic Party to vote for you. Bloomberg's got tons of money, and that's appealing strategically. But you have to have people go in and actually say, yes, I want you to be my nominee. And so we're going to know in March whether he can collect even enough delegates to be a force at the convention. And it was interesting. Bernie Sanders was the only one that said, oh, if I go to the convention and I don't have enough delegates, but I have more than everybody else, I have a plurality, you should still give me the nomination. So that was interesting. He was the only one who said that. And that's what Bloomberg's going to try to prevent, so that the party can go to the nomination and the superdelegates may be more inclined to support Bloomberg. Remember, the Republican Party was a pretty hot mess before they were going into the convention, too, on Trump. So it's a long way to the convention. It's a long way to November. But, Bloomberg's got him up his game. And I thought the debate was also really poorly managed. I think the candidates should actually ask for better management of the debate from the moderators. I just think it just went way sideways all the time.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if the candidates could pose some questions themselves. But in our last few seconds here, where is Joe Biden left in this? He's been counting on Nevada and South Carolina to be sort of his firewall heading into Super Tuesday. Did he get himself back in?
I think he did. He did well for Biden. You know, his debate performance is always inconsistent. He did well. Basically, I'm not gone. I'm still alive. I'm still in it. I'm still going to fight. And he had a couple of really good lines. And I think he just showed he was willing to still stay in the game. So people who are rooting for him may decide, okay, I'm going to send a signal to keep him alive. If he doesn't fare well in Nevada and South Carolina, I do think it's going to be an insurmountable problem for him vis-a-vis Bernie. And we'll see what Elizabeth Warren does. Maybe she pulls more support in Nevada than people expect, which also changes the balance and gives an opening again for Biden going further. So we'll have to see. But he did all that I think he could to get back in the game.
Thanks for this, as always, Wendy. Wendy Schiller chairs the Political Science Department at Brown University. And just as a disclaimer, we should mention again, Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures are lower by 5 points right now. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 15 points. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.